guy who's really been a pleasant surprise, and we're seeing a lot of him. And he may be going back to AAA when Williamson comes off the DL. Who knows how they're going to do it. But I wanted to get him on the show, and he's a pleasure to have on, and it's DJ Snelton. And he's 25 years old. He made his debut in that doubleheader against the Dodgers last Saturday. He was 1-1 in six appearances in Sacramento. Ninth-round pick for the Giants out of the University of Minnesota, but a very interesting interview and a very interesting story. And he'll tell you about his dad and his dad and his love for golf and being a former golf pro and how it influenced DJ and what his dad did. But I like having people like this on the show. I really do, because they're the lifeblood of working hard, perseverance, 25, a big kid. And he kind of reminds me of Dick Hall. And you can look him up on YouTube, H-A-L-L. He played for the Orioles in the mid-60s. And they called him Turkey because he had one of those deliveries. He looked like a turkey. This guy's got that funny kind of delivery, if you can imagine a turkey kind of walking around. But DJ Snelton is a lot of fun. I'm glad to have him on the show. And DJ, it's always nice to see you, especially here in San Francisco.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
All right. For you, I always like to ask the question, growing up, you're a Midwest kid. What was baseball like for you as a kid?
It was cold for the most part. You know, our seasons always started when it was in the low 40s and stuff like that, and usually rainy and sometimes even through snow. Got to play, you know, about 30, 35 games a year. So growing up, you know, I was kind of used to cold weather and getting acclimated to all that.
Always a pitcher. Now, you're a big kid. I mean, as a little kid, you were probably a big little kid.
I grew up playing a little bit first base, and then before that, you know, very seldom did I play the corner outfield just in case I had to make a throw at home.
How did you become a pitcher?
I think it was from the moment my dad realized I was a left-hander. So I was about 5 or 6 years old, and I kept picking up a ball with my right hand, and my dad would keep watching just in disgust, almost like, this kid ain't my son. He's so unathletic. And then someone just like, you ever thought he was a lefty? Picked the ball up, and he just goes, oh, thank God. So, yeah, that's kind of how we figured out I was going to be a pitcher.
Yeah, I like that story. Very good. DJ Snelton with us. Your dad's got an athletic background. I saw one of the articles Andy Baggerly did. Very, very good article.
Oh, yeah. So my dad played professional golf for about 3 or 4 years, I want to say from 1977 to 1980. Was a golf pro at a couple of different courses, so he's had a ton of respect for athletics in itself, let alone golf. He kind of knows how humbling professional athletics can be. So it's always nice to have that background and to be able to trust in someone, especially your dad, whenever you need to talk about something or figure things out and understand that he's kind of been through that as well, even if it's in a different spectrum because it's golf instead of baseball.
Well, he was quite a golfer, and I saw the picture of the house with it looked like a green in the back of the house.
Yeah, so one of the things he decided to do when he first built that house, I think I was probably about 9 or 10 years old, is he decided to kind of excavate the front yard and make a replica of hole 17 of TPC Sawgrass.
I like it. I like it. What did it look like?
Well, I mean, it had the moat and everything. You know, there was water to clear and stuff like that. We took the dirt from the front yard, and he made four mounds onto the side of the yard so he can kind of have, like, four separate tee boxes. And it was cool, I remember, because when it first got done, we had just got into that neighborhood, and you'd always see these cars drive by, and all of a sudden you see brake lights hit. People would be getting out of the car, walking around the yard, people just screaming out profanities, just saying, like, oh, that's so cool. That's so awesome. And then finally somebody did a story on it and was just like, look, I live in this neighborhood. I've been wanting to do this for a long time. I work for ABC. I need to do this. I need to write a story about it. It went from that, and then all of a sudden it became an actual TV interview, and then all of a sudden he actually got a call from TPC Sawgrass, from the head grounds crew, and he was, before you knew it, he was out there playing at TPC Sawgrass. So,
hey, great. Good. That's one of the better stories I've heard. No kidding, DJ. All right. Were you a golfer, too? Did you play?
Yeah, I played golf growing up. It was always more recreationally. I played on, you know, our high school team for a year or two, and then my dad got scared that I was taking it too serious, and I loved it too much, so he kind of made me stop playing so we could, you know, focus on baseball, because I was playing fall ball, but I was sore all the time from playing 18 holes, you know, 5-6 days a week. So,
what kind of a golfer are you? -2, +4? What are you?
So I'm way up there now. I'm nowhere where I used to be, that's for sure. My short game has kind of dissipated a little bit. I need to work on it again.
All right, good story. I enjoy this. Well, you're up in the big leagues. You're left-handed relief pitcher, and you had a great spring training, a great fall league, and things are right ahead of you. But getting drafted for you, you were drafted earlier. You didn't sign, if I'm not mistaken. Then you did sign with the Giants?
Yeah, I was drafted in the 30th round out of high school, actually, by the San Diego Padres. Opted to go to school, you know, just took that opportunity to better myself and focus on things. I knew I wasn't ready for it at the time. Obviously, it's a hard decision to make as a teenager. I'm very happy that I did it because I found a lot of maturity through the game, through my college experience, and then got to, you know, start making my way through the minor league system and got to experience every level.
Where did you go to college?
I went to the University of Minnesota in the Twin Cities.
A Gopher.
That's correct. Yep, Golden Gophers.
What did you study?
I was a sport management major with a minor in psychology.
Okay, now have you graduated yet? Are you close?
I have a year left, about 31 credits, so I opted out my junior year.
All right. Are you going to go back and make sure you get that?
Yeah, I kind of made a promise to my family that no matter what I would, because my dad went into professional golf when he was 17 or 18, and he always wished that he had gotten that collegiate experience and got his degree. So I just, you know, it's a promise that not only I make to my family, but I make to myself that I'm going to go back because education is really important.
Very good. Now, what did dad do after being a golfer? Was he the golf pro somewhere, things like that?
He was a golf pro at a couple of different courses in the Northern Illinois area. He actually owns his own synthetic turf company now called Turf Systems Incorporated, and I used to work for him on occasions in the summers when, you know, he decided he needed that extra hand and had the patience to work with a kid that didn't understand how it all went. But yeah, he's still doing that. He's been doing that for a very long time, and he's always trying to find a way to stay around the game.
Brothers and sisters, how many you got? Sounds like you were hands-on with dad.
I have one brother. He's 6-7 years older than me, based on the time of year. A sister-in-law and a niece. So I spend a lot of time with them. I'm very close with my brother.
Yeah, what does your brother do?
My brother actually owns a baseball facility. Does a lot of those different types of training programs, kind of in the strength realm of it.
Well, I can see your name on a poster.
I hope so. That'd be great.
All right. Good to chat with you. Nice to learn a little bit about you. The Kenosha Indians. I see this in the media guide. I said, gee, I don't know the Kenosha Indians. Who the heck are they?
It was a club team that was owned for a long time by a guy by the name of Lee Lundstrom, who just had a genuine passion for the game. Always wanted to be around it. So we started this team where it was kind of a non-profit team. So, you know, we played for a very minimal amount of money, but we got to play in all the same tournaments that all these exclusive teams got to play for. And, you know, he always did a lot of his own recruiting and stuff like that, and he recruited my brother, and he really liked my brother, so I got that opportunity to play for him. And I just remember I loved playing for him, especially not just because my dad was one of the coaches of those teams, but because he was kind of very strict, and he was very old school in the sense that if you were playing like garbage, he was going to tell you that you were playing like garbage. He didn't spare no expense. He told you how you were, and it was good because I feel that sometimes if you're, you know, pampered as an athlete, or, you know, you're prepped a certain way, you don't know how to overcome adversity. But instead, we always kind of faced it straight on. So having those 4 years of playing summer ball with the Kenosha Indians was a very awesome opportunity.
Yeah, very good, DJ Snell. Very good. What was your college career like? How'd you do in college? Now you're a reliever here in the big leagues. What were you like in college?
I was a starter back in college. I was a midweek starter my freshman year. My sophomore year, I became a Saturday starter. Yeah, the first month of the season, I was a reliever. One of my teammates and one of my best friends had gone through a minor injury, and then I got the opportunity to start, and I think I rolled through like 5 or 6 starts, like scoreless or something like that. So then the coach was like, well, we can't really take him out if he's doing that. So that's how I ended up becoming a starter for a long time.
Now it'd be weird.
There's a story behind that one.
Okay. What did Pablo say?
He came up to me and he said, you're weird. So right before the Bay Series happened, late March, early May, we were doing this signing thing for Play 60, and this guy came up to me, he was probably in his mid-20s, and he asked me for an autograph, and I gave him my autograph, and he goes, hey, thanks, you're really weird, man. And I just sat there, I was like, wait, what? I'm like, kind of confused. And then after I pitched to my debut a couple of days ago, I was over at the hotel, and I wanted to meet up with a couple of my teammates and just, you know, get to talk to them, because my family wasn't able to make it out right away because it was on such short notice. This guy with the Dodgers hat just staring at me, and all of a sudden he just goes, hey, did you pitch the eighth inning tonight? Were you the rookie that made his debut? And I was like, yes, sir, that was me. And he goes, you're really weird, man. So at this point, I was just like, you know what? I'm just going to embrace it. I guess that's my MO. I guess it's just that's just what I got to roll with right now.
Very funny. Maybe it's the delivery. You know, the delivery's a little funky. Describe it for us.
Well, that's exactly what it is. I've always grown up in a very analytical family, coming from a golf household. We've always studied mechanics, so I used to always work on being fluent. And, you know, I had a very long conversation with various coaches throughout the Giants organization, and one of the things that we kind of realized is that conventional doesn't always get out, so we had to throw everything out the window and just figure out what was most comfortable for me. And they knew I used to do what was called a pelvic load back in college, where I would always lead with my hip, but I always exaggerated it, but I was always comfortable with it. So we kind of learned to exaggerate that and make that a part of my motion, because it kind of became my timing mechanism as a pitcher. So I started using that, and then before I knew it, people were starting to say that it was very deceptive, and to me, I was just like, I don't know about that, but it feels good, so I'm going to keep doing it.
Yeah. Well, it's funny, because I've watched you pitch, and I go back in baseball. I love the game. There was a pitcher in the 60s who pitched for the Orioles. He went to Swarthmore College. Big kid, about like 6'7", something like that. Dick Hall, H-A-L-L. And he had a delivery. I swear, I watch you, and I think of Dick Hall. He had a tremendous major league career. And he started as a hitter. Then they made him a pitcher, a relief pitcher for the Orioles in the 60s. Very successful. You remind me a little of him, because I don't see many people do that delivery that you just described.
Well, I really appreciate that. It's always good to hear whenever you can make a reference to somebody else, because that gives me an opportunity to look at players like that and, you know, and figure out if there's anything that I ever need to tweak or to look at or use as reference. It's always good to have that.
Yeah, yeah. Take a look at Dick Hall. They used to call him weird.
Yeah, I'm only kidding. Perfect. No, perfect. If they call him weird, then I'm okay with that.
I'm only kidding. They didn't, but they called him Turkey because he had the turkey kind of delivery. That there's Turkey Dick Hall. He was terrific. He really was good. Well, it's nice to have you up here. How'd you get the call to come up?
Well, I was at the field for a bit. One of the things I like to do to kill some free time whenever I'm in season or especially out of season is I actually like to build guitars because I'm a musician as well, and I do those kind of things. And I was helping one of my teammates, Chase Darnold, build one of his guitars. And I forgot one of my tools, and I also forgot my wallet, which was kind of important to me. So I went back to grab my wallet more than anything, and I was standing in the elevator, and I just got a missed call because I wasn't getting reception. So I was like, uh-oh, I think I'm late. I think I missed something. There must have been a meeting that I didn't know about. So I called him right back, and he just goes, hey, listen, you got to get on. You need to get in a car. You know, they're calling you up right now. You know, you need to go to San Francisco for the doubleheader for game two. And I asked, I was like, do I have time to pack a bag? And they're like, no, you got to get here within 5 minutes. So I just showed up with the clothes on my back and, you know, my baseball glove and cleats and, you know, whatever I could grab within 5 minutes and got in the car and head out here.
Boy, that's a great story. Chase is some musician, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. I guess you could say he was a professional musician. He's had the opportunity to play with a lot of different people with his band, the Chase Darnold Band. So.
All right, so you get in the game and you throw a great inning, and then the second inning, Bochy comes to get you.
Yeah, absolutely. It was just such a unique and, you know, incredible experience to get to come out here in such a rivalry such as, you know, the Giants and Dodgers. And I went back out there, and if I'm being entirely honest, I made a mistake of not adjusting my glasses properly and stuff like that. They flew off my face, and by that, my adrenaline started wearing off. I forgot to breathe out my mouth, and just all these things that you normally have control of when you're in such a tremendous experience as your major league debut. You kind of forget sometimes to breathe a certain way, and it's different when you wear glasses, because if you're breathing out your nose, it fogs up. It fogs up tremendously, so something that I definitely need to remember, and I think it's good because if I can focus on that while I'm out in outings, sometimes I can forget the magnitude of the situation and just compete and, you know, execute pitches to the best of my ability.
Well, you're one of the better stories I've had on this year. I mean it. Very good. I like it. And you're not weird. It's a good story. And I'm going to ask you this. What's your favorite food? I can't imagine what you're going to say here.
Oh, hands down, Italian food. If it's anything Italian, I'll eat it. I'm not a big complainer about food, but I do love Italian.
All right. We've got a couple of good ones in San Francisco. Have you noticed North Beach yet?
I haven't had the chance to experience it much yet. I actually had to drive back to Sacramento last night just to grab some clothes. So I haven't had the opportunity to explore it too much yet, but I'm excited to.
All right. DJ Sloan, great to have you on. This is going to be a lot of fun for the fans to hear this and to follow you. I think you're going to be here for a while. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
More coming up. KMBR 680, the sports leader.